they never know.
I have to say, it is how I get to quite well written and very succinct.
Are we ready?
All right.
Good morning, everyone. This is Commissioner Brian Kalk. It's Tuesday, July 30th, 2013, approximately 11 minutes after 11. We're meeting for the administration portion of our meeting. I don't have any opening comments. I'll presume any comments?
No. Nope.
All right. I would move passage of the one item on consent.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion passes.
Perfect. Looks like Clint Thomas is now a member of the Public Service Commission. So when can he come to work, Pat?
August 5th.
Excellent. Good deal. Okay, let's get right into it. Discussion matters with the commission. North Dakota Telco is concerning USF reform and Connect America Fund. Commissioner Honorable Julie Fedorchak.
Okay, this is just something that came up after I went to the annual meeting for the telcos, and I see one of our esteemed members of the CenturyLink in the room too, so this doesn't just apply to the telcos. But as I was at that meeting and heard discussion about the Universal Service Fund reform and the Connect America Fund, I felt like I wanted more conversation with them about their concerns, what their thoughts are and moving forward. So I wanted to orchestrate some sort of a meeting. I don't know if you guys are interested. I'd also like to meet with CenturyLink, and I don't know if it's best to do that to them together or separately. I'm open to whatever, but I just wanted to throw it onto the agenda or to discuss it and get your thoughts.
I won't speak for Randy, but for me, Julie, I've talked to these folks probably 4 years about the issues, and I think it's, for me, I went and talked to every one of them, and almost going to meet with them in their area seems to be really, really helpful because each one has a little different twist to it. So I think, for me, I don't need to be part of that group.
Okay. Randy?
I guess I can take it or leave it. I like going out and talking to them individually. If you're going to bring, I don't know if you're talking about just like an association leader as far as the telcos go, or if you would be talking about the various companies altogether, you know, barring some conflict, I would sure sit in. It seems like the more I hear, even having been in the industry to the extent I was, every time it's any of this stuff is discussed, I continue to learn more. So it's okay with me, but we can either do it separately or together. I'm fine either way.
If there's something you want to bring forward, I think we're happy, like that letter we all signed. But my experience has been, it's hard to get CenturyLink and Mid-Continent. They see the world one way, and AT&T and Verizon, vice the other folks, and so it's areas of commonality. It's nice to know their each viewpoints. And we did try to get them together one time before, and everybody keeps things pretty close in the group together.
Right. I'll set stuff up and invite you.
Perfect.
You can join me.
All right, KTM Farm, change of boundary. Mr. Sheldon, this is not you. Why is this not Mr. Fawn?
I'm going to open it up.
Okay.
By telling you that we received some letters from Kelly from KTM Farms out of the Wahpeton area about land he wanted to develop and was looking to get service to that area. He wrote a letter asking for the telephone exchange boundary to be changed because he would like to go with Red River, who had given him an estimate for the job. I did contact Kelly and speak to him about telephone exchange boundaries, why we have them, kind of our role in them. And he seemed to understand, but he has written another letter to the commission, again asking for us to review it. So at this point, I'll let Pat take over from what he has done into this.
Let me just ask the question off the bat, Pat. I mean, the exchange boundaries are set. He's got somebody that says he's supposed to get service from. I mean, this is deregulation at its finest, isn't it?
Well, it's traditional regulation as far as setting exchange boundaries.
Regulation.
You know, the companies are assigned the service area that they are to serve, and the company that's designated to the service area is to provide service to the customer. And in the case of in a situation where the service costs more than an average service to a customer in a company's service territory, the company can ask for aid to construction. And that's, I believe, what Quest is suggesting here. The other situation is that when we have a customer that wants to be served by a company serving a neighboring exchange, for example, or nearby, the commission has always said, if you can get the companies to agree and want the one company to serve you and the other to release you, the commission really has no problem with it. We would revise the exchange boundary for that company. In this situation, the customer and Red River, I believe, have contacted Quest to see if the Quest would release the customer to Red River, and Quest at this point has said no. And I visited with Red River about other possibilities, and they say that they can't make a go of it serving this customer unless they can assign that cost to the Universal Service Fund, and in order to do that, it would have to be in their service territory. Wow. So the question, I mean, in the past, the commission's never been involved other than to say if the companies are in agreement, we're good with that, we could approve it. In this situation, we have visited with this customer concerning that, and we said, but we have new commissioners. If you want to ask them the question, you can do that. You can certainly write, and that person did write.
You and I have talked about this before. I think I'm at, he goes with CenturyLink, or he goes, I mean, you can have AT&T, Verizon, there's other services out there. So I have no desire to get in the middle of this personally.
The question I have is regarding Century Code 4903.1 and with Red River CLECing in there and providing the additional services. Is that what you're referencing, that they could do, but they can't do it affordably unless they get it into their service area so they can use USF funds?
That is one possibility as a CLEC, yes. They could provide, if they have a registered CLEC, they could go and provide service as a competitor.
But is that what you were talking about with them, though? And they said, well, but we can't afford to do it unless we can get them into our territory.
In my conversation with Red River, they said CLECs in the past, they've been able to make it because of the access revenue. But the access, as you know, the FCC is reducing the access prices, access rates, down to nearly zero. And so they don't believe that they would make it providing service as a CLEC. The only way that they believe that they could actually provide service to this customer is if it was in their service territory and they could include it in and allocate that the facility that they would need to build to serve that customer, they would be able to allocate it then to the Universal Service Fund.
Okay.
So they'll have to spend $45,000 to have phone service, right? I mean, they won't have any, that doesn't include any fiber or any internet or anything. It's $45,000 for phone
for
service.
Phone service.
Is this a super remote area? Where exactly is this?
I think we have some maps in here.
Well, there's a map, but it's not very descriptive. Oh, wait. Is it north of
St. John's? On the mentioned here, Wahpeton. We're in the Wahpeton area. By the Red River.
Oh, there it is. New.
So what would be these customers' options for getting internet there?
Well, internet service is not regulated by this commission. Any company that wanted to provide internet service could build a facility to these customers. For example, Mid-Continent Communications, if they had a presence in that area, they could construct a facility to that customer and provide not only internet but TV service and telephone service. And their telephone service is a VOIP service, which also is not regulated by the commission.
But, I mean, there's a pretty good chance that they're not there.
I would think the customer would have checked that out.
Yeah.
I don't think they are there.
So if the reason why I asked where it's located is if it's, you know, in an area that's somewhat near a town and you expect it's going to be growing longer term, it seems like they should get some decent investment in infrastructure. So I guess I'd be curious if Mr. Blickensdorfer can talk and sort of give his company side on this. Are we allowed?
Well, sure. This is just us.
Why don't I just sit up here? I'm Kent Blickensdorfer with CenturyLink. I'm a director of legislative and regulatory affairs. I have not reviewed the entire letter that is being referenced here, so I'm not familiar with my understanding was that this involved a lot more than what we were just talking about, essential services. I think that CenturyLink probably has the obligation to provide those. I think this developer and this farmer wants high-tech, high-speed internet wired to his new development. And he probably doesn't like the price that we want to do it, which is evident with our neighbor, Red River, who says they can't afford to do it unless they get federal money to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And CenturyLink doesn't get any federal money to do that. So, I mean, it's certainly a quandary, but us redrawing exchange boundaries, I mean, we're all for competition. It's never bothered our neighbors to come in and take customers in the more populated areas. So, and they did it without our permission, so they don't need our permission for this either. You know, I feel for them. I know the cost, and we have the same cost. But we can't start a precedent of redrawing exchange boundaries to serve one or two customers on the edge.
So the $45,000 that he's quoting for, and I'm sorry you don't have that, Kent, but that's their share. You're obligated to serve them, but they pay that for the copper wire service, right? Standard phone service.
I'm not familiar with this exact case, so I don't know. I know that there is probably excess construction.
It's probably in a tariff, if I may contribute.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't think we even have tariffs anymore. It's probably just a price
schedule.
Yeah.
Whatever they're called.
So I'd have to review this.
Yeah.
And we can certainly take a look at that. My understanding all along has been this hasn't been about just essential services. This is about high speed.
And I get that just from a citizen standpoint. I think that $45,000 for basic service seems like a lot to invest when it's really not even what you're looking for anyway. So I guess. But I agree with the challenges of redrawing boundaries for, you know, every single case like this. It gets to be difficult to have some sort of consistent policy. So
right. And Commissioner Fedorchuk, I agree that $45,000 is a lot for the customer. It's also a lot for the company at a regulated rate of $18 a month.
Yeah.
The time to recover that is really long.
Mm-hmm.
I think the one thing, I think it's good that we have Kent in the room and now aware of the case that's being brought to us. And I really think a little time, maybe this could just be resolved on their own. This isn't, you know, we say every single case. This isn't a single case, though. This is it sounds to me like a rural development on over a square mile of land. I mean, it could be a pretty big thing. And you know, a lot of things that we don't do in the state to enhance quality of life and encourage economic development for every single case, we do in for more voluminous things. And this is potentially one of those. And I think we've got the right people involved now. hopefully this can just get a second look. I don't know if there can be any kind of a trade made or
it takes
an acquisition
to move the boundaries. That's not a simple maneuver. It's not a, we have to act to change the boundaries. And if we're concerned previously about USF funds being drained, we're just feeding the fire by approving an exchange boundary change. I appreciate the dilemma they're in, but that's the way it's set up to be. And if the customer, they asked us to do an informal look at this. They can file a formal request for us to, they can file a request to change the boundaries, and we would have to have a little hearing on it and go from there. But I think this is quite opposite what we're talking before about trying to protect the Universal Service Fund and other areas, and here we'd be opening it up for I would say what it was not intended to be.
I think it's that this probably is.
Wapta, North Dakota is not Tioga, North Dakota.
Was intended for. My understanding of this, if both companies were in agreement on this, I think we would be approving it.
Maybe.
I don't know. I've never done one yet. Maybe there's some reason why we wouldn't.
We always do.
I think we'd
sure
be looking at it.
When one company says, yeah, go ahead and let them serve, and you let them serve, we always say, sure. I mean, if the companies work it out.
Every case should be judged on its own merit.
That is correct.
Yeah, but you're also arguing for a consistent policy that we never vary from. So, I mean,
for telephones, I don't recall it's changing hardly anything. It's telephone and electricity are different animals, and the laws are different. Telephone is being deregulated. I think you've got what you're looking for here. I mean, what's the next step? What I would say is that if one of you wants to pursue something, then you'd pursue it, I think. Otherwise, for me, I have no desire to pursue it. So that's kind of
I don't know that I want to do anything. I appreciate Kent taking his time to come and giving kind of their side of things and getting that information. That's what I was looking for. So,
okay. I think it's incumbent upon this developer and Red River to work with CenturyLink and see if there's a way to come up with something that would cause CenturyLink to want to agree to a trade or something like that, like we've done with the electrics. And if that were the case, I think this whole thing would look a lot different.
So your USF concerns would not be present then? I'm playing devil's advocate now. I hear your point.
No, I think the Universal Service Fund is meant to bring quality telecommunications out to rural areas like this, and that's what it would be doing.
Fair enough. So, survey says, Patrick, do you know what you're going to do now?
It sounds like I'm going to let the customer in Red River and Quest Communications continue to work on the issue and come up with a solution.
And if they would want to file something saying to do something, we'd certainly look at it.
Well, as far as the customer filing something, this is the second letter. The first letter, we called him, contacted him, talked to him about it, and told him our standard, what we've done in the past. And then we said, if you still want the commissioners to address this, then write another letter.
Well, but this is where I'd go back. If a customer requests exchange boundary relocation, that's much different than what they're doing now. They're saying they want us to be proactive and take the lead in doing all this ourselves. And that's what I'm saying, though. If somebody at Red River files paperwork, they want to request to change the boundaries, that's much different. Or if CenturyLink would file the paperwork, I guess that's what I'm thinking of. That's the kind of paperwork I'd be looking for somebody to file, is their request to change it, and then we would then look at it based on the facts and get all the groups together and have their say.
Well, he is asking that in the letter. I mean, he says it straight out in the letter. I'm asking the Public Service Commission to make this change to the telephone exchange boundary. So I don't know if does he think that's a formal request? I don't know what meets a formal request in our procedures.
Well, one of the things we will say when we write back to the customer is, what I'm hearing is, the commission discussed this, has declined to take further action at this time, but here are some of your options, one of which for the customer is to file a formal complaint, and we'll send the little brochure and rules along with it so the customer knows. That's one option, a formal complaint about the boundary and or a formal complaint about the cost, the extension cost. Those would be two separate questions, separate standards. Don't ask me what the standards are for the boundary case, because I don't know. But in addition, the recommendation or suggestion that the parties continue to work together and perhaps file something formally indicating that they've worked it out, whatever that ends up being, perhaps a boundary change that everyone's agreed to. So I see two steps here, two possible directions. If I'm hearing correctly, what...
Whatever you said sounded good to me.
And is this person writing us a developer himself? Is he just a resident of a development?
My impression was that he was one of the potential customers in a development.
Because it seems to me the developer should have checked out some of this stuff before he sold all these lots and got customers into his neighborhood. Where's he in all this mix?
I think this is the developer.
I think it might.
It is.
But developer's not checking what it's going to cost is not a new issue here. I mean, we have some history.
No, I'm sure it isn't.
sometimes
to include natural gas as well.
I mean, it's not. And just sometimes they've added the numbers up wrong, and it might not be really 45, but Kent said he'd check, correct?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
But beyond that, you know, if and, you know, I fully understand CenturyLink's dilemma in not being able to get universal service funds in comparison to the competitor. But at the same time, if that reality causes this development to just unravel, then nobody ends up with anything. So I don't know that benefits CenturyLink either. So it almost seems to me like the proper people at CenturyLink have never been brought into the mix on this, and I think we're there now.
Okay, going once, going twice. Julie? Randy? Okay, Patrick, work with Alana and get that letter put together. Thank you, sir.
Very good.
All right, testing and safety, revenue and aging reports. Mr. Galleon, do we want to move this right to a work session?
That may be best.
Sure.
Julie, I know you've got constraints. I think let's just drop that down to scheduling. Let's go back with what you've given us. So you've given us your recommendation as well as a invoice, which you think the changes can be, and so we can schedule a work session on this pretty quick, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Anything else for discussion before we go right to scheduling? Julie, Randy? Nope. Okay. Commissioner Crispin has asked that we schedule the work session for bonding requirements of the wind farms ASAP prior to the work session on the Courtenay wind farm. So, Julie, if you're okay with that, I'm okay with that. All right. So, Randy, how quick can you – what do you exactly do you want to do here anyway?
Well, there is a provision somewhere that once wind farms are in service for 10 years – that the PSC has some role in setting up a bonding system for them. Okay. And we do that for the coal mines, of course. And I think there's a lot of questions. For one thing, I don't know to what extent our reclamation people can even participate in this, in that they are coal reclamation people and there's cost sharing and that sort of thing. So even though they have all the expertise, we need to find out to what extent they can participate and to what extent this is
left legal.
So
that's what I'm trying to get to is what do you want, like who should take the, because if we're going to have a lot of questions and nobody has a chance to review those questions before we get to the work session, we haven't done anything. So do you want legal to provide like an update of all things dealing with the current law and how we've implemented it, or Jerry to talk about it? I mean, what are you looking for? Because I'm vision staff, tell us something and then we make a decision.
I'm just laying out some of these things that have come to my mind. And we'll schedule it and so that they can have as many of those answers by then as we can and we can move forward with some discussion. In the decommissioning plans that have been filed, it seems to me if you summarize them, they always basically say that the salvage value will equal the decommissioning costs.
Mm-hmm. So who from staff can talk about the decommissioning plans?
We need to look into finding some kind of a contractor, and we'll probably have to pay them since we're not doing the project, but to get a real outside estimate of what it costs. I don't think that salvage value ought to be used as part of the payback, because the property might be mortgaged or something, and we won't get the salvage money.
Randy, I'm not trying to have the work session now. Just trying to get what do you want, Jerry, from our staff to go through decommissioning plans? Because I'm seeing a layout of what we've done now, and then what the law says, and then see what we might want to go for. Because maybe we're happy with what we're doing now. We haven't all three talked about this yet, as the point of the work session. So I guess what I'm saying is we should walk through it before we make any decisions about what we're going to do.
Yeah. So let's schedule a work session to walk through it.
Right. What I'm trying to get, though, is we oftentimes give staff the expectation of what they're going to be asked to present before the work session, so they know.
Well, can Randy work with staff to get that information?
That would be fine.
Together?
Okay. I just don't want to have work sessions where nobody, we come in and go, let's figure out what we're going to do next.
Commissioner Kolk.
Sir.
Can I be present with that? Because if you're looking at internal resources.
I think anybody can come to the work sessions. Okay. It's a public meeting. So, Randy, how much time do you want before you like the work session?
Well, I don't know, because we don't go through all things. I don't know how much time staff will need to get answers to them, but I'm kind of looking around at Jerry and Alana mainly and Pat. Is a couple weeks adequate, do you think?
I don't know what the questions are, so, I mean, we could start talking this afternoon if you wanted to. It'd be nice if we could get somebody like Jim to come in and talk.
He'll be back. How about Monday on the 5th?
The 5th doesn't work.
Why don't we set it off down the road a ways, and we talk to staff and try to gather information about what our options are. And then
the one thing I do think, as we move down this, if we choose to do anything, that it's probably important to all the wind farm applicants to know what's happening with the current wind farm operators, so that they maybe have an idea of what's coming down the road.
It seems like if we want to change what we're doing with them, we'd have to change the law, because it requires 10 years. You wait 10 years before you put in a bond.
That's in rules, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. And we would have to change the rules. Yeah, so we would be in a rulemaking. And
I thought I saw it in the code, but maybe.
It seems backwards to me to potentially approve 4 or 5 wind farms and then a week later announce what our bonding requirements
totally
are going to be
you.
Years down the road. It seemed to me that we should try and at least be working on this so they have some idea what they're facing.
Well, let's at least find out what are then quicker, I think, than on a sooner meeting. We should find out what our options are, because I think our hands are tied. I don't know that we have that many options for changing the law, changing our requirements. Agreed. This year with the wind applications. But so if I'm wrong, that would be...
No, let's schedule a work session, and we'll see where you and I are at with all this, with everybody else. That'll clarify with the direction pretty quick, won't it?
How about the 12th?
Of August? Let's have a look-see. Works
yep.
for me. All right, what time do you like to do this, Commissioner?
9:00.
August 12th.
I'm just throwing out numbers.
Sure.
That's fine.
That works great.
Okay, beautiful. All right. So then working back a little bit here. Steve, when did the NISC presentation? You've got that.
I have 7 different dates. Would you like them?
Sure.
I have the morning of August 26th.
That's fine for me.
Yep.
It's the day before the rate case, but that should be fine. Randy, that worked for you?
Yep.
Julie, you said good. So what time?
9:00.
Perfect. Well, that wasn't too hard.
Will you give me one more just in case?
What's the next one they requested?
Morning of 27th. No, you've got a hearing.
Yeah.
Afternoon after 2:00 on August 28th.
No, but that rate case, that whole week is shot.
That whole week?
Yeah.
September 9th?
September 9th. It's a Monday.
That's when we're out on.
St. Louis something. No, hang on, though. The 9th, that's in the afternoon.
That's damage prevention, I think.
Yeah, so the morning of the 9th is open.
Okay.
That's open for you, Julie?
Oh, yeah.
Ready
mm-hmm.
for you,
sure.
too? The morning of the 9th is open, Steve.
Okay.
So that's the backup?
One of those two.
Okay. All righty then. So moving our way up here, the Courtenay Wind Farm work session. Jerry?
That one we were just hoping to
get on the schedule.
Call it a circle the wagons type meeting to
talk
about procedurally what to do with this case and just talk about it in general a little bit. And,
that should be sooner than later.
And we were thinking this afternoon if you're up for that.
Mitch is available this afternoon. But
yeah.
Mitch said after 2:30 today he could be available.
That's fine with me.
You want to set it for like 3?
Sure.
How long of a meeting do you expect that to be?
I don't know, an hour maybe.
Oh, you've got commitments, don't you?
Or less.
How about Thursday or Friday? Because I still have to prep for tomorrow, too.
I don't know what Mitch's availability is.
Well, could we go this afternoon? And Randy, if you need to listen in on the phone.
Is it going to take a whole hour, you think?
It might not.
I don't think it'll take very long.
Okay.
Could we do it at 2:30?
Yeah.
Yep. With the single point of talking what to do with those...
new evidence.
Yeah, new potential evidence, right?
Yeah.
So it's not limited. We won't talk about the wind farm at all, just what to do with the evidence.
Yeah, what procedurally we're going to do here. And,
okay.
What the options are.
All right. So 2:30, Randy, that fine? Julie, fine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, and then I would just wanted to add a work session on the basin transload. We just finished the hearing yesterday, but with our schedules, even if we put it out a while, Sarah, did you get a sense of how quick that they might their paperwork in and all that?
No, I did not. I do have an email I saw from Jillian, so I don't know what.
Where's Ryan at? Okay. Well, could we schedule something like September, I don't know, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, somewhere in there? And then if it doesn't happen, then we just don't do it.
Sure.
That sound okay, Sarah?
Yes.
Okay. So the 4th, we're up in... How about the 3rd? Is that a work day for everybody? I think it is, right? We're off Monday for the afternoon of the 3rd? Does that work, Randy?
Mm-hmm.
Julie, does that work?
Sure. Early afternoon.
How about... Want to go 1 o'clock?
Sure.
1 o'clock on September 3rd? And, sir, if you could just let the company know, and, well, that'll be a placeholder, and if they can get all their stuff together, we'll do it. If not, then it won't happen. Okay, yes, Steve?
If you're done with everything else, I have one further request.
Oh, we got Josh's next to do.
Okay.
The testing and safety agent report. You're probably ready pretty quick on that,
the
right?
The 12th, right along when Randy's right.
Oh.
The wind work session.
The 12th of August, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a whole month off. Yeah, that'd be fine. So what time
right
would that
after,
be at?
After the wind work session.
So that'd be 10 o'clock?
Sure.
Does that work, Josh?
Sure.
Okay. Ryan, does September 3rd work for you in the afternoon for the basin transload, providing they get all their stuff together by then?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. All right,
what
Steve.
What time was testing and safety?
We have
10 o'clock.
Discussion set for the IT study on the 7th at, I believe, 10 o'clock. The GIS Technical Committee would like to use the hearing room for their monthly meeting, so if we could move that, it would be appreciated.
Okay, where do you want to move it to, Steve?
Could we move it later in the day?
How many will there be in that?
Probably, in which one?
In that meeting, because could we just do it in one of our offices and not have to go through the
could.
Pain of changing the time?
Yep. I don't think there would be very many people, so.
Well, I'd open up my office, that's fine.
We need to say where it is.
Yep.
Okay. And then post it outside too, Lana, just so you know. Austin, you're in charge of that meeting that day.
September? No.
August 7th.
August 7th.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. And anything else? Patrick.
If you want to, I'm looking way out into the future here a little bit.
Always. We like the future.
And the potential for a sighting hearing. The notice would go out on August 21st at the next commission meeting.
Okay.
So I would be looking for a date for a hearing sometime around or after September 20, somewhere in there.
What's the hearing on?
That would be, it's Highland existing pipeline.
Where are we going to?
Tioga.
Well, the week of the 23rd. 24th is open for me.
24.
That one doesn't work for me.
Okay. 26th? 25th. 26th is open for me. 26th?
That would work.
There you have it. 26th?
24, 5, or 6?
Just 26th.
Oh, just 26th.
Okay. 25th is a commission meeting. 24th is we've got conflicts. 23rd is conflicts. 26th.
About a couple more dates, just in case. Because I have to line up the ALJ and the...
27th is a no-go.
30th.
The first would be better.
No, that doesn't work. Second.
No go.
Third
works.
Okay.
I have to be in Fargo.
Okay. This is what we schedule far out. Well, let's circle back around. We had October 20th or September 26th, and you said it has to be after the 20th?
Yes.
Wow. So what are we up to here now? The 7th is no good. The 8th. October 8th?
That works for me.
Randy?
Yep.
Oh, there you go. October 8th, Pat.
I do.
Wow.
I'll try for, like, unless you want to try another one, but I'll try for one of those two.
No, tell them that's their nickel. That's not, it behooves them to meet our schedule. I mean, that's... Okay. All right. Going once, going twice? Done. Thank you all.